guess who's back? Brad's back. Straight from the Bahamas. He got here, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
He got here yesterday, so I am super happy to have him back. And as you can tell, his eyes are bloodshot, but he's here in good health, and he did a detox bath that I made him to help kind of get him back restored. So I just...
She was making sure I didn't have any kind of bugs.
We just don't know, right? I'm just going to start off really briefly, and then I'm going to move it on to him. Just wanted to update you guys on our GoFundMe and kind of some things that have shifted. So we originally had set a goal of $10,000, which I'm going to change today because we've hit our goal. We have raised, because of each of you that have contributed or shared your page, it was like $6,800, I think, is right now, or $6,300 is in the GoFundMe. Then we also received individual checks from people, $1,000 here, $1,000 there. City of Hope gave $1,000. So we have been able to collectively, between the GoFundMe and individual checks, $10,000. So we are changing our goal to
$100,000.
Brad's going to be able to share some of the developments and kind of his role in all of this. But really quickly, too, many of you know that I have a heart for dogs and animals, and they, too, are in great need of assistance. And we've, Brad actually has met some folks that's also part of their passion and are using their Learjets and their own resources and helicopters and prop planes to go in and collect these dogs that many have been at shelters or are now strays. Some of these are people's pets that they had to leave behind, and some of them are just stray dogs, but they are needing our help as well. So we want to not forget about the animals. And
you know, some of them are like skin and bones right now. It's imperative that even though there's people, you know, being saved, you know, a righteous man considers his animal, as Proverbs says. And I think we can't leave out the animals. And the animals that are wandering there are just skin and bones right now. So there is people on the ground searching for these animals. And matter of fact, we tried to coerce one in as well, but I couldn't get him to the truck, so we just fed him.
But what we're doing is we're working with some folks that have already been in touch with some shelters and organizations in Marsh Harbor that are collecting dogs and then transporting them to the U.S., to Orlando, to anywhere, to shelters that will receive them. And right now there's like this lift where they don't have to be vaccinated or anything. They're just needing people to help meet at the airports for these pilots that are dropping off these animals in crates. We need people to be at different areas to transport them in a van or in an SUV or somewhere to shelters that are willing to receive them. We're also in need of people that are willing to foster these animals temporarily, or if you're looking for a dog, maybe take them in. I just learned yesterday that the Bahamian dogs are called pot cakes.
Pot cakes.
And I don't know what that means. I meant to look it up. But anyway, so that's just one of the things we're working on to just help the devastation that's happened in the Bahamas. So I just wanted to share that with you. And, you know, please continue to share our GoFundMe page. Even if you've given, again, thank you so much for your generosity, you know, just partnering with us. All the money, 100% of the money is going to the Bahamas relief, whether it's going for fuel, whether it's going for supplies, whether it's going to transportation, whether it's going for, you know, buying generators, you know, getting these dogs transported. You know, there's obviously fuel involved in transporting them back and forth. And these people that have these planes are footing the bill on the fuel tool too. So anyway, I just wanted to give you a glimpse of all of that. So if any of you are interested in helping on the animal side and have contacts with your local shelters, humane societies, or want to transport animals that come into regional airports, feel free to message me through Facebook, and we'd love your help. Or if you're interested in fostering, we'll get you the dog. So thank you for your time. Hit it.
I'll hit it. You'll have to excuse my sinuses. When I landed, my allergies kind of kicked up yesterday. I think it has a lot to do with my dog over here. But yeah, I've got a lot of stories to tell, a lot of God stories. I will tell you that I have never seen anything like I've seen at Marsh Harbor and Treasure in all of my life. I've never smelled the smells of death like I've never smelled before. There is nothing, but as you know, a lot of you guys that follow us, where there's devastation, there's opportunity. And so we're seeing opportunity to rebuild a city, to rebuild the old ancient ruins. Things of the past are no more there. It's totally wiped out with the storm. And even though the storm was horrific, there is some type of promise. It wipes out all of our past. And I think it's wiped out a lot of past things. It's washed the land. And now we've got to clean it up. And I think there's going to be, there already is, a conglomerate group that has come together to start rebuilding. I've never seen anything like private owners, private people that have a lot of money, and they're donating their time, they're donating their planes, they're donating their heavy equipment. Just got off the phone with the head guy that I'm working with, and we have been offered to ship their heavy equipment. Just got off the phone with a guy that a company's going to offer heavy equipment to send over there. We'll have to get trailers, containers, and so forth, all types of things to get shipped over there to the harbor. We are going to have to go over there in a few days to assess what is needed again. We also need to assess really the condition of the harbor again, because there's going to be some real huge heavy equipment that's going to be brought in. Just different logistics like that is going to make a difference. And long story short, I'm not sure why, but they're trying to get me involved in trying to lead part of this Bahama relief that's happening there. Now I have been connected with a GroupMe text with the government. The UN is on it, and we are trying to get everybody in order and kind of micromanage all the confusion that's going on. You can imagine the confusion that is happening. Everybody's wanting to do a great job. Everybody's wanting to do their part, but there has to be some type of order brought to the communication so everything can be set in order. So that's what we're working on this morning.
Can I just say, it's just, other than it being God, the favor that you've received, Brad just really wanted to go because, you know, of knowing, we know some folks there, and he just wanted to go and do his part and just go as one person and see what he could do to help Daryl and Wilson and other people in the communities that just need physical help. And it's turned into something so much greater and so much larger and expansive. So, what do you say about that?
I'm still in shock. I wouldn't expect to be put in this position to do what the Lord's calling me to do in this situation. I sent enough intel and got in touch with enough people while I was on the ground that it kind of the people in the upper echelon got wind of it. And so they have asked me, I think it was yesterday, to start, if I could start heading this thing up. I about fell out of my chair, first of all, and asked, why me? Because I was just there to help Pastor Daryl and just do our part. But they said, I said, I just gave you some intel, tried to help. And they said, well, nobody else is doing it like you're doing it, which I couldn't believe that. That was hard to believe because I would think anybody would want to do it, you know, that way. But long story short, they're asking me to lead getting things shipped over there, getting it on the ground. I've got to get all the pastors together in all the Abaco Islands. We have now started a Abaco Alliance, Pastors Alliance, text through WhatsApp, and I was talking to them last night. We've got to get all the details of what's wrong with their churches. I've got to be on the ground to assess what they need, and not only what they need, but what their families need. That's money, that's food, that's shelter, that's church building material, down to electricity, plumbing, you name it. And so we're trying to build a team around this to try to get this thing going. I feel that Pastor Daryl Pender is probably going to help me quite a bit, and I will probably need some construction guys that are out there somewhere to help me kind of organize the construction part. So it's a big task. We're at ground zero. We're just now starting this phase of rebuilding physically this thing, but also we're going to need to rebuild emotionally, because a lot of these leaders and pastors are in shock, total shock and disarray. And so we're trying to help them not only rebuild physically, but we're trying, as we rebuild physically, we're trying to, you know, not do it too fast, because it's a shocking thing. We've got to do it in a way to where we care. We show that we care and really listen to what their needs are. Take, for instance, you know, I was just walking through a village one of the days that I was there, and was assessing what was going on, what was happening in the village, what type of destruction that was there. And this 80-year-old lady just stopped me, and she just talked her ears off about the storm, gave me her story and all this stuff, and was trying to give me advice and all types of things. And I just felt the Lord tell me, just listen to her. She's in trauma. The reason she's talking so much is because she hasn't had anybody to talk to. So just listening to someone can change their life. One of the things I've learned even more, of course you guys know, I'm not much on trying to on talking negative about people. I've realized we have got to stop labeling people negatively, even if it's true. You know, of course, in the Christian charismatic world, you know, we can label people very easy. You know, he or she's got a religious spirit, or they have a problem with this, and they've got an issue with that. And, you know, we've got to watch out. They're gonna hurt our church, or whatever it may be. That is called gossip. That is called talebearing. That is called witchcraft. And when we do that, we definitely can't see the literal calling of God. If you can easily see a religious spirit in someone, that means we have it. And that's a problem. We have been taught to label people with the labels that we have on ourselves. And we've got to somehow put that to rest and bury it. And just get on the grounds and start helping people without prejudice, religious prejudice. Because if we're not careful, we could go around this mountain again. But I think we're not going to do this. We're not going to go around this mountain again. There's so many people, you know, down there. I was talking to people that were not religious. They were unbelievers. But and it's strange how when catastrophe happens, we have such a heart to reach out to all the people that are having trouble, that are drowning in devastation. And isn't it funny how we forget about trying to change them? We just try to help them. You know, it doesn't matter if they're Muslim at that point. It doesn't matter if they don't believe. What matters is helping the person. And I think helping the person is what changes them and gets them back to life itself. We were called to give life, not religion. And I think we've lost that. I think we've got to get back to just giving life to people and not try to jam religion down their throat. If we can give life, that is the true purity of religion, is giving life. That's what Jesus said. He didn't come to give religion. He came to give life, and he gave us his life, literally his life. And that's why you and I are here. And there were so many times I could feel the Lord when we gave life, you know, to people. It wasn't necessarily the way, you know, religion would tell you, man, you got to preach to them. You got to get them changed, you know, put them, you know, mark them down as somebody that's gotten saved. Well, nobody, when people's hearts change, they start getting saved. I can tell you that. Things start to change in their life, and then God starts to visit them because we visited them by giving them life, which opens their hearts to receive the life from the Lord. We can be that life. We can be that representation on the earth as he is in heaven. We've got to be the same way we were as we've got to be the same way Jesus was with his people. He didn't jam it down their throat and try to, you know, tell everybody how many he got saved, tell how many he healed, and brag about his healings. I never see Jesus bragging about his healings. All of those stuff has got to die. And in other words, we got to stop doing our own will the way that we've been trained. And our will has been trained to do it the way of religion. But pure religion is to give life, I'm telling you. I'll give you an example. I took pictures of it, but it's a long story, but you're working on that.
Yes. John's helping me. Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to get the volume up. So hopefully it's better.
Me and the guys, Anthony and Daryl, as some of you guys watched, we did a Facebook Live at the roundabout just outside the airport there. Well, just before that, the Dutch Army military was looking for porta potties because they bring these, you know, sanitary bags and have a seat, you know, and build a little board around it where you can use the bathroom, believe it or not. Sounds crude, but yes, that's the way they do it, right out in the open. But, because there are no bathrooms. And they were rummaging through all of this trash, you know, devastation, looking for porta potties. And they said, have you seen porta potties? And we said, no, but we'll keep a lookout. Well, after they left, we had to drive down, way down at the end of the island, and we had to get some gas. It was a long way down there. The only place that they sold gas, because everybody was running out of gas up north, and we were running out of gas. And on the way out of there, there was a porta potty that had washed up on the shore. And I don't know if it came from another island. There is no telling. There's boats in the woods that got washed up from other islands. Now, I'm not talking about little boats. There are yachts in the woods that got pushed in there. It's strange to look, to watch, to see as you're driving down a road that's nothing but woods and there's no water on each side. So, I said, stop, let's put this, we were full of gasoline tanks. We already got our gas, and so the back of our truck, it was full of tanks, gas tanks, and so we tried to push them aside, and we got this porta potty out of the bush. There was a huge crab in it, and it scared one of my friends, Anthony, and he about jumped out of his pants, And so we got it up out of the bush and put it in the back of the truck and tied it down, and I realized what it looked like. And here we are, we've got gas, and then we've got a porta potty. So you can, I mean, what a scenario that was. And somebody said that we were in the ministry of poop. And but the strange thing about it is when we did that, I said, look at that. We got so drunk in joy on the way there. We couldn't wait to get to the port, which was about an hour and a half away, to give them their porta potty. And so I drove up to the encampment of the military right at the port. They had tents everywhere. You know, everybody's going everywhere. And I walked right into the commander's tent and said, hey, is there somebody I could talk to about getting setting up y'all's porta potty? We have one. He just looked at me and he said, hold. And so he went and got another guy. And he walked out and he said, do you have a porta? Of course, they could barely speak English. He said, do you have a porta potty? I said, yeah. And he smiled from ear to ear. He said, I'm so glad you found one. He said, we only have 40 bags, sanitary bags left. And he said, come with me. And he went, took me to the toilet and dug out the bags showed me.
These are bags that they used.
What they do is they just have a little plastic seat, and then you have to put your bag underneath the seat.
Okay, and collects it, and then
they have to seal it up.
What do they do with the bags?
They have to, you know,
fly them out.
Yeah, they can't keep them there. So everything is saved because, you know, environmental things, of course, you know. Everything's dead there. The environment's not good. You wouldn't want to breathe it too much. But long story short, you know, he showed it to me. So they said, bring it around. So we brought the truck around where their makeshift toilet was. And the army, a bunch of guys came out and helped us unload it. They were laughing and carrying on and opened it up. And of course, he'd been washed up. It was pretty clean in certain, most areas. And so we set it up and sat there and talked and laughed, and they hugged us. And of course, they smelt to no end because they had not had showers. And because there's no running water there, if you do take a shower, you need to jump in the ocean. It's just raw. It's just, you know, you just have to make it.
Someone described it as like it's a real war zone.
Yeah.
It's like being in a war.
Yeah. It was a apocalyptic. It really was.
Like zombies. Didn't someone else say it felt like
a Walking Dead movie. I mean, you saw people walking around literally that had been in the storm, and you could tell they're in shock. Their eyes were just wide open, walking real slow, and just probably don't even know where they are.
Tell about those people that were in the trees and they were afraid to be helped because.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was getting to.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
go right ahead.
So.
I think we're good on volume, guys. Thanks for your patience. Thank you, John. We're good now.
Okay.
So awesome.
So I could talk a little bit lower.
Yeah.
But long story short, as we're hugging these military guys and. They're hugging us and they're just thanking us and talking to us. And I saw some things that were getting out of trucks that you just don't want to talk about. It's the stuff they have to deal with is unbelievable. But I could feel the Lord there. I wasn't preaching. I wasn't doing my prophetic gifting and all that stuff. We just brought them a porta potty. And life was given to them through a porta potty. Mm. So that was the hand of the Lord giving life to these military guys, and the presence of God was there. And that's what he came to do. He came to give life. And giving life is not just preaching to someone and trying to change them. Giving life is helping them right where they are in their need, in their desperation. What do you need? And us giving them, God giving us a washed up porta potty that had come out of the ocean. That was God's hand wanting to give the military life. Mm. And so, and that's what he comes to. He comes to give life, and he came in a porta potty through us, and he gave life to these guys, which changed their life. And the strange part about this is we saw them later on on the air at the airport, because they were bringing stuff in by helicopters and you name it, and they were just smiling, you know, we're
ear to ear.
Yeah, ear to ear, because they knew who we were, you know, and just, you know, and we were the guys that with the porta potty. And so the reason I say that is because I wanted to read the scripture, because this scripture comes to me, and you guys have heard me say this scripture probably a million times, but I, in that context, I would like to just share this because it makes so much more sense. I think we've made trying to preach the gospel a little bit difficult. I think you can preach the gospel by actually helping people. I believe the gospel is the good news, and that good news is we've got to give life. You know, there were sometimes people were amazed why I did something for them. But it was, I thought it would be just something anybody else would do. But that's part of preaching the good news. Preaching the good news is actually living the good news, doing it without prejudice, without an opinion, without trying to change them. Because when you do it without opinion or without prejudice and trying to change people, that's when you give God room to change them. And this is a scripture out of Matthew 25, verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. Now, it's strange here, but there were nations, and still are, there are nations that are working together there at the Bahamas. It's the strangest thing. We got the Dutch, we got the Germans, we got Canadians, we got the U.S. Everybody is working together, and they have gotten their minds off of division and helping people. Now, think about that. Who is doing that, really? It's God. The thing that divides us is ourselves, our beliefs. And so God sometimes will allow things like this to happen to deliver us of our beliefs to give life. Because belief systems only divide. God brings life. And so here he is, and it's strange that he's with these nations, and he comes to all the nations. He gathered them. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd divides his sheep from his goats, from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit. That means you didn't earn it. Many of us think we've got to earn the kingdom of God. Many of us think that if we're even saving people, we're earning something. That's not true. He says, inherit. Here's how they inherit it. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Notice he's giving them something without any kind of stipulations. Now watch this. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. He's not talking about preaching to them. You can preach to them, and that is part of the food, but if we're preaching to them to try to get them changed because we see flaws, we're preaching through prejudice. And I'll just stop there on that one. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. There's no telling how many waters I gave there and continue to give. Cases, pallets. I mean, literally, before I left, and I couldn't be there, we got reports that a village didn't have water to drink. It was really hard for me to leave. Because I was the guy that was orchestrate it all. So it was tough because I couldn't get water to a village. But when I landed, I made sure that we got water to that village. It's just the things you see is not, it's unbearable. It's pretty rough. So you just have to, you have to really focus on, we've got to help these people. Mm. You know, volunteers are scarce there. We're trying to get people. There's more volunteers coming, but you got to understand that you have to kind of orchestrate it because they're dangerous people, places that some of these volunteers don't need to go to because it's you could get yourself in trouble. Not only the looting and looting there is not, I can tell you there, looting there is
to
not
survive.
Yeah, it's not what it's not like. It's, yes, is it dangerous? Of course, but I mean, I saw looting every day, but it's not what you would think of the looting that we have been taught to see. These people are actually trying to survive. That's all they're doing. They're trying to survive. They're trying to get food. They're trying to get shelter. You name it. They broke into a home when I just left. They broke into a home to get clothes. They were carrying out clothes, running, carrying out clothes. Is that bad? Yes. But when it comes to survival, it's, you got to have mercy.
Well, it makes me think of what I was just saying a second ago about those people in the trees.
Yeah, there's, we had I was at the airport, and these two Army guys, I didn't know they were Army, they told me they were, and they're just two guys, and they're waiting on a plane, trying to catch a plane out. I said, what have you guys been here for? And they said, well, we actually are in the military, and we had leave, and we flew down here, and we're medics, and we wanted to help. And I said, that's incredible. And of course, they were very humble. They said they wish they could do more, but they told me a story. They heard that there was a family in these woods that was at Hopetown. And they were Haitians, and they had a daughter that had pneumonia, and nobody could get to them because every time they would get close, they would run because they thought they were going to be taken and
deported.
And so they couldn't, every time they'd get close, they would run. And the family got themselves into a place, into a cove to where they couldn't get to them. They were so desperate to get away because they were so scared that they were going to be deported. And they looked in my eyes and they said, we just couldn't get to her. You know, and we had the medicine to heal her. That's tough to swallow. You could tell even with the military guys, these two Army guys, it was hard for them to swallow. They had to evacuate firemen, a whole group of firemen that had come to find bodies and take bodies out. They couldn't take it anymore. They were literally starting to go into trauma in their minds. And they got to where they were stuttering, couldn't talk much, crying. So they had to rip them out of there and ship them out because they couldn't take it anymore. It's a ground zero. Marsh Harbor is nothing.
So I think the next step that I know you're working on right now is to really, you've been there for a week and you're now being, you know, connected with these organizations that can bring in large amounts of supplies through you know, those big shipping containers and fly in and all that. And you're planning on going there next week. But I think after he gets back, we'll have a better idea of the building, the rebuilding phase. and the people that we need that have those trade skills. I know we put something out on Facebook and we got some great response about, well, I can help and I've got a team of guys and, you know, how is it all going to work? And we didn't want to give too much information because we don't have a lot, but it will be fleshed out where we will say we need carpenters, we need electricians, we need plumbers, we need this, we need, and hopefully get the supplies and everything and be able to give you the logistics about, you know, where, what airport you need to be at what time and for how long and where are you going to be over there? I mean, that all has to be worked out. The accommodations, what tools are going to be needed. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to this. Yeah. So, you know, bear with us. We are getting the information so that, you know, we can communicate it back to you.
I'll read the rest of this, this scripture because I want to throw this, just make a point here. I think it would really help us all because the gospel's changing. I mean, I'm starting to see what the Lord told me when he visited me a long time ago. And I fought him on it, but now we're starting to enter into it. But it says, let me finish this. It says, I was a stranger and you took me in. We've got billionaires, millionaires in Florida that got nine families. One particular person that I know of that's a billionaire in Florida, he's got nine families in his house. Nine Bahamian families in his house. And he had to go over to back to Bahamas to help at Ground Zero there. And his wife called him and said, you're going to have to get back home. I'm about to go nuts. You know, she loves them, but she needed his help. So they're doing the gospel. I was a stranger. You took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you a drink? Who knows? These guys may have been preaching the gospel, but the very things that they did for people with their whole heart is really what God was looking for. Isn't that amazing? Just helping people, giving them life. And let's keep reading. And the Lord's saying, they said, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Now, I just want to say something. Yes, anybody you come in contact, you're ministering to him. Period. Doesn't matter if it's a demoniac. It doesn't matter if it's a religious person. You better keep your eyes open because you're ministering. You're talking to him. And the way you talk to him is the way you'll be treated when you get to heaven. The way you treat him is the way you will be treated in heaven. It's just righteousness and justice is the foundations of the throne. And whatever we do here on earth is what we will reap in heaven. And so, and they're saying, and then he says, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these. Now he's looking and he's pointing to the ones that are already there. So the way that we treat people, the way we give life, like we're doing in the Bahamas, is putting them in the kingdom. It's not trying to get them sign on the dotted line, I confess Jesus as my Savior. That is not biblical. It's not what gets you into heaven. It's when your heart changes toward God himself, toward life himself. Is when you get into heaven. And the strangest part about this is the way that they treated these people, it put them with the audience with the king. Now that's a whole new way of evangelism. He didn't say, man, you made them sign on the dotted line. You made them say the salvation prayer. They're with me now. No, you fed them. You clothed them, you gave them a drink, you visited them, you loved them. And the way you loved them, put them with me. Think about that. So let's love well. Mm. Let's love well. You know, that's the last thing Bob, his message, Bob Jones, our spiritual father, you know, he told me a million times that story of him going before the Lord and the Lord saying, did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? Not getting people changed. Did you learn to love? Because if we learn to love, then we will change other people. You got to love well. There's a lot of good preaching. There's a lot of good oracles. But is there anybody out there that really is speaking the true voice of God? Are we really loving well? Search your heart. Let the Lord search your heart. Examine your heart with the Lord. Let him change it. Because this is where we're going. We're going to have to let love consume us, not doctrine. And if love consumes us, we will read this doctrine of Jesus totally different. And it will cause us to have life to open up even in us. The Lord's trying to come now and give Christians life. Because we've lost it. A lot of us have lost it. We've lost our joy because we've been put under rules and regulations. We've lost our joy because we now are so discerning and discerning everybody that has spirits instead of really discerning the Lord in people and discerning the good in people. We've got to get back to the simplicity of Jesus. How did the Lord look at you? How did the Lord look at us? Even when you were down, did he label you? No. He gave you a helping hand and helped you get back up on your feet and got you on your way without any kind of hooks. Let's do the same with each other. Do the same with yourself. So that's our story, and we're sticking to it.
We just thank you guys so much for all your support, all your kind words, all your encouragement, your financial support, your time of sharing, you know, our GoFundMe page on your personal page. I mean, every little bit has made a huge difference.
Yeah, it's going to take years to unpack all this.
Well, the money, Brad brought some cash, you know, because the bank's there. We wired some money to one family. We wired money to Daryl's family that was off the island. He put on another place, and
we're even helping a guy get passports for his family, his kids, because he's running around doing all the shipping and stuff for us that come into the ports, and you could tell the way he's talking to him, he's in trauma, and he wants to take his family out of there, but he was trying to get passports for his family when the hurricane hit. So we're getting that done. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, and if it wasn't for the money that we raised through you guys and you were able to bring, you wouldn't be able to buy that fuel.
There was an opportunity
finally at that one gas station that Brad and Daryl and Anthony were able to get this huge barrel of fuel, and if they wanted cash, of course.
$636.
So that went to fuel for generators for a whole community.
Village, yeah.
And there's a lot of people in that village that still don't have generators. So that's our next thing, is to try to bring more generators over now that I think propane and fuel has become more readily available. But again, they need cash in hand to buy it.
Yeah. We just had an email from someone. They're sending us a bunch of Home Depot gift cards to buy generators with. So praise God.
Yeah.
So if you can help, that'd be great. You know, you can either go to GoFundMe or Living Vine Ministries and just
market that it's for the Bahamas.
Yeah, and we're going to help these guys. It's going to take a few years to get all this stuff done, but hey, got to start somewhere. I want you to look at this guy. He moved.
Jake.
He's been sitting over there in this chair, literally listening and watching us. It's been something.
Thank you, guys.
We love you guys, and thank you for loving us and We're praying for you. As you pray for us, and keep going after Jesus. I'm sure you guys have heard me, and I was reminded this morning. I was asking a friend of mine, please pray for me. I don't know if I need to be doing this or not, and he reminded me of what the Lord told me in 2010, that I was. He asked me to give Jesus his reputation back on the earth. Huh. So, and what we're dealing with right now could not only, it's not going to be about Bahamas, but it could get us to the place to where we have to do things throughout the earth. So this could be the time where Jesus wants his reputation back. So thank you guys for your prayers. Thank you for following us on God Stories and supporting us. We just love you dearly. All right. Keep the faith, keep going after Jesus, and, you know, get his reputation back by just loving people. All right? Grace.